Prepare today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
A national safeguarding body should be set up to look after the health, safety and welfare of at-risk adults, according to recommendations from a new report. The Law Reform Commission's report calls for an overarching safeguarding framework in Ireland, which would set out duties and obligations to prevent and respond to harm of at-risk adults. Joining me to discuss this and to give their reaction is Patricia Rickard-Clark, Chair of Safeguarding Ireland. Patricia, welcome back to the programme. What's your response to this report and what do you make of its recommendations?
Well, we in Safeguarding Ireland welcome this report. We've been waiting for it for some time. We were set up basically in 2016 and we were instrumental in tabling a private member's bill at that stage in 2017 in the Oireachtas, which got all party support and recommended an independent adult safeguarding authority. And after that, it was then sent to the Law Reform Commission to look at the regulatory framework for adult safeguarding. Just to say, we've spent a long time putting in place child safeguarding legislation, which we've had now for a few years. We have no safeguarding legislation in relation to adults, people who are at risk or in vulnerable circumstances. So even when people come out of childcare services, we've no system to assess their needs, to assess the risks they may be exposed to, or indeed to identify the services they need. So Safeguarding Ireland, you know, since we were established, have been looking for adult safeguarding legislation. It's one of our main aims. So we very much welcome this report. Now, the Law Reform Commission have suggested, they've suggested either an independent body or the safeguarding body be allocated to one of the existing regulatory bodies or whatever. We think an independent body is absolutely necessary. And one of the other recommendations of the Law Reform Commission is to say that to establish an interdepartmental implementation group on a statutory basis. So safeguarding feels that now, immediately, we need to, as we have done so in the recent past, consult with the political groupings in the Oireachtas, but also now to establish an interdepartmental steering group to drive immediate progress in this. So there are huge gaps in terms of dealing with people who are at risk, adults who are at risk. So we need action now. Many of the recommendations of the Law Reform Commission actually can be actioned now, you know, in terms of some of the issues with regard to financial abuse, some of the issues with regard to sharing data, all of that. So there's a lot that can be done in the meantime, but we need action now. And again, we would argue that rather than set up a grouping as an interim body or stepstone, we need across society. There's a lot of emphasis on the health and social care services, but there's a lot of people in the community that require protection against risk and need to be safeguarded. So Safeguarding Ireland looked as we want multidisciplinary approach, cross-sectoral approach, and we want interdepartmental consultation and collaboration and all of this.
The other thing that I was reading and stood out to me as part of the recommendations was the Commission was recommending expanding the remit of existing regulators such as HICWA and the Mental Health Commission, and the Commission recommends or believes that the safeguarding body should not have regulatory functions. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, for example, HICWA do not regulate home care service providers. That's been the Law Reform Commission actually published a report in 2011 recommending that HICWA's remit be extended to home care services, and the Commission is coming back again to say that. And again, in the Mental Health Commission, there's limitation in terms of people who are involuntarily detained. We need regulation of mental health services across society in terms of whether it's involuntary detention or whether it's in hospitals or whatever, or in the community. We need proper regulation of these. It's very limited. If you take the HSC safeguarding teams, they really only deal with cases in HSC, disability or older people services, and even at that, that's limited. So they don't go into private nursing home and they work on policy. We need a statutory base for all of this and to achieve a proper legal framework for adult safeguarding.
And the Commission also recommending that safeguarding duties should be imposed on certain services such as nursing homes, residential and day services for adults with disabilities, accommodation for people in the international protection process and people experiencing homelessness. So generally, we're not talking about any age cohort here, Patricia,
specifically.
Just adults from 18 up.
Indeed, and also we have human trafficking. We have homeless people, we've all sorts of people across society who are not tapping in at the moment to any service, but are in the community and do need help and support and assistance and do need to be protected in many cases where they are at a risk.
That word safeguarding, what does it actually mean for people who might not understand it in its most simplest term?
Well, it means putting in place systems to respect the rights of an individual, to support them, to, I mean, in other jurisdictions they have care or social care legislation, which has put in place systems for services, etc., to prevent abuse happening in the first place, to identify if a person is at risk and support them. But it's really, again, we've come from a system where we institutionalized people or we took people into wardship and prevented them from making their own decisions. We need to have people participate and be a part of decision-making in relation to their own lives. But they, in many cases, some people need support to do that. So even if a person has dementia or has an intellectual disability or brain damage or whatever, many of them can make decisions for themselves, but many of them need support and help to do so. And if they don't get that support and help, they are at risk of being abused in certain circumstances. We have many instances of, say, older people who have capacity to make their decisions, but decisions are just made on their behalf, or they're financially abused, or whatever. So we need a proper framework in terms of adult safeguarding to deal with all of those issues. And that's why, again, the Commission has produced two different bills, one on the criminal law side and one on the civil law side. So on the civil law side, they're setting out the legal framework that is necessary for increased regulation, for putting in place safeguarding statements and organisations. And we in Safeguarding Ireland get a lot of calls about that, where charities or community bodies are concerned about some safeguarding issues and how do they put in place a policy. So that independent, overarching oversight body is the body to set those standards, help people with regard to those policies. On the criminal law side, then, we need the expansion of the offence of coercive control that is contained in the domestic violence legislation, but actually it's limited to people who are or have been in an intimate relationship. It doesn't cover an elderly parent who is trying to deal with a very abusive adult child, you know, in who may be on drugs or whatever, or maybe pilfering their money and all of that. So again, we need systems in place, and we need systems for people to recognise that these are issues that need to be addressed in society. So we all have a responsibility, but the state has a huge responsibility to have legislation and a proper framework in place to deal with these issues.
Finally, Patricia, it's a very comprehensive report that the Law Reform Commission has produced. And again, from the outset, we said that they're calling for a national safeguarding body or recommending for a national safeguarding body to be set up. And they say that that body should, in particularly serious cases, have a power to obtain a court order to remove an at-risk adult from where they are and take them to a specified safe place. That is the law when it comes to children. You wouldn't expect a child to be put back in a place where they are unsafe. So they're essentially saying, why should an adult that's at risk have to go back to that same facility?
Yes, and certainly in Safeguarding Ireland, we're aware of very many people over the age of 18, and indeed very increasingly number of older and frail people who are in a situation where they shouldn't be left in. And again, it's really important that we have those in you know, where it's absolutely proportionate and necessary, that it is necessary to remove or have somebody else removed from the home that they may be living in, the parents' home or whatever. So all of those And again, there are new offences under the criminal law of neglect and abuse, which are very necessary as well. So Safeguarding Ireland very much welcomes the report, and we will be working very hard now to start work now and to see the setting up of an interdepartmental steering group to drive immediate progress to achieve what is necessary.
You can read that report online on the Law Reform Commission's website, www.lawreform.ie. You can also get more information regarding Safeguarding Ireland on its website, safeguardingireland.org. And Chair Patricia Rickard-Clark, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back. Let's go to local issues down in the Athy area. Joining me is Labour Councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Mark Lee. Welcome back to the programme, Mark. First of all, you wanted Kildare County Council to carry out full road maintenance between the playground and St John's Estate in Castledermot. Is the road in a bad way?
Yes. Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, the road is in a bad way there. Oh, and there's a bit of a fall off to one side on it. There was a huge pothole there with the recent rains. Now it has been patched up, but it's only a matter of time, I suppose, before it's washed away again. The answer I got, Owen, from the engineer was this would be looked at in conjunction with the overall master plan for Castledermot. But my problem with that answer is how do you go to the residents of St John and say, listen, this is part of the master plan. So I have asked that this piece of road be looked at as a matter of urgency, and they are going out next week to have a look at it all for me.
Right. The council, you also wanted them to clarify why no projects were put forward from the Athy Municipal District for sustainable transport funding from the NTA in their active travel investment grants allocations for this year. Did you find out why none were put forward?
Yeah, in March we were presented with the grant allocations from the national, the active travel investment grant allocations zone from the National Transport Authority. And listen, I won't go into all the projects, but we have a breakdown of funding of 10.385 million, which 5.9 million went to North Kildare, 3.2 million went to Naas, 700,000 went to Newbridge, and Kildare and Monster haven't got just a small grant. But unfortunately, I got zero. And the reasoning, we have projects there, like we have Ready to Go on cycle lanes in Ballyshannon. You're sick hearing about my footbridge over the barrel linking Woodstock Street to the schools at Rathstewart. Cycleway is linking up the historic villages in South Kildare. And a footpath cycleway linking Crookstown School to Beltor Village. Now, they're all very tenable projects, Ready to Go, I would say, just lacking the funding and a plan. So we've been told that it's a very competitive grant scheme, and that they are looking for bang for the buck, really, at the NTA. And Athy is a bit rural, so to be more bang for the buck in the Greater Dublin area, like Maynooth and Naas, I suppose, or wherever there's a green councillor, we could say. And basically, Athy is too rural, but they have told me that they will look at the funding for the bridge over the River Barrow for 2025.
Does it come back to the age-old question, though, Mark, if Athy is just forgotten about down at the bottom of the county? And we had that very constructive roundtable discussion in Athy a few weeks ago, and I know yourself and Mark Wall and other councillors would disagree with that statement, but when you see no funding for active travel being allocated for this year for Athy, it begs the question, why not, and why are you being forgotten?
Well, I did try to go into the meeting without that mind frame on, because I do agree with you, and you're correct in your analysis of it. Well, I know it's probably not your opinion, you're presenting it as a radio presenter.
Yeah.
But I do try to go in as constructively as possible to see how we get the funding for next year, but I do feel you're dead right that I was forgotten about this time.
Right, finally then, well actually just to move on to your next issue then, Mark, and this one says, can the council inform members of how many vacant or derelict buildings it has secured under the compulsory purchase scheme in this municipal district?
Yeah, and I just have to say about the, we have a small team in Kildare County Council, only there's two or three on the staff, and it's an extremely difficult job to do this. We have five that have been brought back from derelict in a tie to our detained municipal district into compulsory ownership. One that they made an agreement with the landlord, and he's going to do it up, and eight in the works at the moment. Owen, listen, we're talking about derelict property now for a long time, and you covered nearly weekly on your show. There's a lot more could be done outside of the government and outside of the county councils. I'm sure every solicitor has a filing cabinet full of these that they're just getting around to, and if you could get around to them a little bit quicker, it'd be great.
Yeah. Because when it comes to dereliction, and again, to go back to some of the discussions we've had, and there's great work being done in Athy and in some other towns and villages around the county, but for people who drive through a town and they see dereliction to their left and to their right, that's how they make their mind up on how a town is doing. And if a town doesn't look great, regardless of what's going on behind the scenes, you know, it's not a good look, and there's a lot of dereliction in Athy.
Yeah, well, like, we can only put the compulsory order on, or the council can only put the compulsory order on it. At the end of the day, it's up to the landlord. If the landlord takes down the compulsory order, that's the end of the matter, as far as everybody's concerned, I think. And they make a good case as to why they can go forward to do up the property themselves. But as I said to you a second ago, a lot of these are with solicitors in probate or in family disagreements or business disagreements. And one particular, and I won't name the property or anything like that, but it's in a prime location in Athy, and everybody drives by and shut it up. That's ongoing since 2013. And my belief from the person involved in that property is that it's with the solicitor, and he is trying to get the solicitor to move it along.
All right. Finally, then, for the moment, Mark, you're looking for a footpath in Athy. This one is, well, you want it widened between the showgrounds entrance and the primary health centre there.
Yeah, well, we have a lovely, shiny new primary health care centre, and we've the showgrounds there. And the pedestrian crossing is the far side of the showgrounds. But between the showgrounds entrance, where Athy GFC, Athy Rugby Club, a tennis club are, and there's only a 4 foot wide path, and that's fine. Like, you can get a wheelchair buggy up there when the hedges are cut back. But now the hedges are sprouting out. It's a private ownership. It was a site. They didn't get plan permission. I'm sure it'll come back in for plan permission shortly. But when the briars are growing out, you can narrow down the footpath to 2 feet. And the answer I got was there's no plans to widen it. Like, there should be plans to widen it, and I have told the engineer that.
All right, we'll leave it there. That is Labour Councillor Mark Lee on the Athy Municipal District. Thanks for that, Mark, and good morning. Just looking at a big story, of course, that will develop in the afternoon. Families of the 48 victims of the Stardust tragedy will gather today at Dublin District Coroner's Court as the long-running and long-anticipated inquests reach their conclusion. The 12-person jury yesterday told the court that it had reached majority verdicts. These will be delivered this afternoon, expected at around 2 o'clock. The jury has previously been told there are 5 verdicts open to them: accidental death, death by misadventure, unlawful killing, an open verdict, and a narrative verdict. The proceedings, which are being held in the Pillar Room on the grounds of the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin city centre, began last April following a sustained campaign by relatives. It sat for over 100 days and heard evidence from more than 300 witnesses. The inquests have been the longest held in Ireland to date. The witnesses included former staff at the nightclub, survivors, emergency responders and fire experts. 48 people aged between 16 and 27 died in the St. Valentine's Day disaster in Artane in North Dublin 43 years ago. It was revealed yesterday that the foreman told coroner Myra Cullinan that the jury's 7 women and 5 men could not reach a unanimous verdict. The coroner then said she would accept a simple majority of 7 and allowed deliberations to continue. 15 minutes later, the jury returned and confirmed it had reached majority verdicts. Miss Cullinan said she would defer the announcement of the verdicts and findings to today to allow interested persons and family members to make arrangements to attend court or to watch online. So that is expected later on this afternoon at 2 p.m. So we'll have more on that on our news as it develops. Let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District then, and Fianna Fáil Councillor Anne Connolly joins me now with local issues that she brought forward to the recent meeting. Anne, welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much, Owen. Good morning to you and to all the listeners.
Good morning. You wanted the council to carry out essential maintenance and restoration works on Baronstown Lane in Milltown as a matter of urgency. How urgent is this, Anne?
Owen, very urgent. Insofar as I have taken this motion on a couple of occasions to on the floor of the council. I was canvassing on Baronstown Lane the week before last, and it is nothing short of atrocious. It's in a shocking state. As I said yesterday, you wouldn't need any traffic calming measures on it because you have to spend your time avoiding major potholes. It is really in a poor, very poor condition. Lookers, they have decided they will include this location. Routine maintenance schedule. I don't know what the exactly routine maintenance means. Is it just to fill the potholes, which I have already requested before the motion? But it needs major work on it. You know, it needs complete resurfacing. It's in a very poor condition. But look, they're going to do something with it, and I suppose that's a bonus.
Cherryville in Kildare, you're looking again for maintenance works here. This is on the L7020. Where is this exactly?
Owen, if you're at Cherryville Cross, you're probably aware of it, and it is the road, the side of the rural road back, it leads you a back way into Kildare Town. If you're heading to Kildare Farm Foods, you might take that little slip road. That was always generally a road in quite good condition. But as you sort of spoke about yesterday morning, our rural roads are in an awful condition at the minute, with their serious problems on road edges. And I suppose it's all down to all the bad weather we've had for over a number of months now. The road edges are just literally like constant potholes being all along the sides of them. They're subsiding. They're in a really bad condition. That particular road is now in a serious condition. It's a dangerous condition. Like, it's really one car can only travel, and when you meet anybody, you're hoping they can pull in and avoid a major pothole. It's in a poor condition. But look, there's the answer. No plans at present to include the road, but that is only one of many roads that's in Kildare, County Kildare at the moment, rural roads that are in really, really poor condition. And it is, I suppose, with extra traffic on these roads, but it's down to the recent bad weather.
Yeah, as you say, we covered this yesterday, and we were talking to a listener who wanted works carried out on the Kilcock to Summerhill Road. And after that, we got in touch with Kildare County Council to find out if your tyre is damaged by a pothole, can you make a claim to Kildare County Council? And we were told that claims can be made via IPB insurance. And if you go onto their website, ipb.ie, follow the steps provided in the claims section, and Kildare County Council may reimburse you in relation to damage to your tyre if you hit a pothole on a council road. And just finally then, out to Rathangan, you wanted the council to investigate the possibility of extending and upgrading the playground in Rathangan to include a wheelchair swing.
Yes, like Rathangan Playground was installed in January 14. So it's 10 years old, and it's dated. It really does need new play equipment within it. It needs an extension. It's in a lovely location. It's right beside the canal. Beautiful trees all around it. Now, to extend it, it wouldn't mean removing of trees. I suppose nobody wants to do that either. But look, at it certainly needs, as I said, it needs upgrading. Like all the newer playgrounds have lovely new play equipment in them, and this really does require it. The wheelchair swing I have requested on a couple of occasions because there is a family close by that was looking for that, and they have to drive to Clane and to get a key to open it. It's a specific type of it's quite large, you know what I mean? And it's locked at all stages. And when I had the parks manager out some time ago, I suppose it could be a year and a half ago or so, we wouldn't have enough space in the present playground for one of them. You know, he's not awfully in favour of this. He said we are being sort of exclusive, but it's targeted to a specific disability, let's just say. But he has agreed to come back out and revisit the site and have a look at it. But I wouldn't be awfully hopeful that he'll end up extending it because of the number of trees that would have to be felled to accommodate this, you know.
We leave it there. So, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Anne Connolly, with those local issues. Thanks for joining us, Anne. Good morning. A few of the messages then that have come in to us. Morning, Owen. Could you please say a huge thank you to all the staff at the Curragh yesterday, all the front of house staff managed by Sue Ryan. Brilliant day was had by all, and that's in relation to 42 members of the 99 cadet class commissioned to take up the roles in the Defence Forces as officers at a commission ceremony yesterday, and that meant that 10 female and 32 male officers received their scrolls and commissioning certificates from Tánaiste and Minister for Defence Micheál Martin. And on that, by the way, Sinn Féin TD Raida Cronin has emailed in to say, absolutely delighted to be at the commissioning ceremony yesterday at the Curragh Camp, a day of huge pride for our cadets, for their families and our Defence Forces. Wonderful to be part of, wishing them all the best for the future. We'll be counting on them. And of course, Raida Cronin is Sinn Féin spokesperson on defence. Another message in then that says, while you're talking about a tie, don't forget Castle Dermot. Trish is of the view that Castle Dermot is and has been a forgotten town for years. And finally then, Chris in Selbridge says, I've never had the pleasure of visiting a tie, but after listening to all the problems etc. reported, I don't think I shall be selling up and moving there at the moment, says Chris up in Selbridge. Ah, Chris. And the point as well, by the way, I know that there are some issues that the councillors have mentioned here on the programme and they're dealing with, but the point that I was making, and to be honest with you, I think it's a valid point, because we all make our minds up by what we see. If you visit a town or village and there's a lot of dereliction, a lot of shops closed up, a lot of pubs closed up, you know, and buildings kind of in ruins, you'll make an assumption on that town based on what you see. But I know there's great people in Athy and there's great work being done, there's great businesses, etc. But it has to look better and other towns have to look better in order for people to change maybe their perception on how those towns and villages are looking. But I see the point that you're making. Thanks to Mark Lee as well, Labour councillor, who was on with us a little bit earlier on discussing some of his motions that he brought forward to Kildare County Council and the issues that he's trying to work on. And we've spoken to Brian Dooley, Aoife Breslin, Ivan Keatley in the last few days, and Vera Louise Behan will be on the programme as well tomorrow to see what issues she wants to be rectified down in Athy.